Amen. Our scripture lesson today is 1 John chapter 3. 10 verses. The first 10. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. John writing in his epistles, his letters, very clear cut, very definitive words. First verse starts it off, chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has not been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Powerful. May God add his blessings to this passage. May we accept it from Him. May we be strengthened as we pray to receive it. Join with me, Father. Thank you for these words. They come from you, through me, to us. May they be strong and may they lift us up. May they point us in a direction for the week to come. We're thankful, Father, always. And we ask that you would watch over and keep us through this message in Jesus' name. And all of His children said, Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny to me how I get influences for the sermon. And I don't mean it's funny like laughing. And I'm not trying to brag. It's a constant revelation of Jesus Christ and how real God is. Because there's no way that I can do this on my own. Absolutely none. If I tried to think this stuff up on my own, it would come out sounding like this. Blah, 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 blah. And oftentimes when I'm doing prep for my sermons, I look for an influence everywhere. It can be something as a tilted gravestone or a tree growing. And we have a guide that we can use called the lectionary. And the lectionary covers a lot of Christian churches. And sometimes when I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be, I return back to the lectionary to see what's going on for this week. And when I read this week's lectionary offerings and realized what was in my heart to preach on, I was surprised. Especially when I keyed in on what I think John was talking about in that third chapter. So that being said, it must be that time of the year again, or it must be that season. It must be something in the air. It must be spring. I don't know, but it's time for the false prophets to get wound up once again. Now, how many think that this world is full of false prophets? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of them out there, ain't it? You want to see false prophets? Turn on the TV. This product is guaranteed to regrow your hair. I was bald as a cucumber until I started using it. I put that stuff on my head because it was getting a little thin. It burned for an hour. False prophet. It must be that time that we get, the prophets get loose and they get wound up. And so this morning, I'm going to be your science teacher, and you're going to get a little history lesson as well. So you may now refer to me as Professor P.N. Leatherman III. Why does everybody laugh when I do that? Do you know that since really the death of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, and His ascension into heaven, since 66 A.D., people have been predicting the end of the world. In 66 to 70 A.D., Simon Bar Giora, the Jewish Essence sect of ascetics, saw the Jewish uprising against the Romans in Judea as the final end-time battle which would bring back the arrival of the Messiah. By the authority of Simon Bar Giora, coins were minted declaring the redemption of Israel with his likeness on them. Now that's pretty cool, ain't it? Let's stop and think about that for a minute. I don't think I would have a coin with my picture on it. What denomination would suit me best? A $3 bill. There you go. Something that don't make any sense with my picture on it. That would be perfect. AD 66, people have been walking around saying, the Lord is coming back. It's the end of the world. You know how many times recorded history now has the end of the world? 193 times since AD 66, the world has been declared to end. We're still here, aren't we? I pulled a couple of them out that made me laugh. In February 20th, 1524, Johannes Stoffler said that a planetary alignment in Pisces was seen by this astrologer as the end of the world and the sign of the millennium coming to an end. Planetary alignment. People look up in the sky, see that, start saying, well, because of this and that, we're going to see the end of the world. The Jacobites in 1290 and 1335 predicted that in 1260 the world would end, but the prediction failed. And so they refigured a few things, and they said that the end of the world would be somewhere between 1290 to 1335. Gave himself a little wiggle room. And we're not escaped from it. Christians are just as bad as everybody else, and we're Anabaptists. Remind yourself of that. We're supposed to be old. Hey, Greg, I'm getting a lot of... You guys hearing that feedback?
Yeah.
I'm getting some feedback pushing out that thing. The Anabaptist Melchior Hoffman, and I've read his works, he predicted that Christ's second coming would take place in that year of 1533... He claimed that 144,000 people would be saved and the rest of the world would be consumed by fire. Still here. Martin Luther. In 1600, Martin Luther predicted that the end of the world would occur no later than 1600. Martin Luther, you know, the 99 Theses. Nailed to the door, changed how we think about everything. Christopher Columbus, in his book of prophecies in 1501, he predicted that the world would end that year. He then went on to claim that the world was created in 5443 BC, would last 7,000 years. That meant that the world should have ended in 1658. John Napier tried to say it was going to end twice. In 1688 and 1700, He recalculated because he based it on mathematical possibilities due to a planetary alignment. Colton Mather, he tried it three times, 1736, 1716, and 1697. He failed. The Jehovah's Witnesses in 1941 predicted that the world would end. In 1962, Gene Dixon, and everybody knows that name, Gene Dixon, who I always wondered, if she was so good at predicting everything, why didn't she win the lottery? She said that the world would end in February 4th, 1962. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim from 1966 on that the fall of the world would start in 1975 and that Armageddon would be finished by 1976. In 1996, Sheldon Neidel, California psychic and Christian, predicted that the world would end on December 17, 1996, and on this date would be the arrival of 16 million spaceships with a host of angels to take things over. And don't even get me started about the year 2000. Everybody in this room thought the world was coming to an end on the year 2000. I slept through it. Wendy and I were at a people's... We were having a New Year's Eve party. And I was all wound up. And the next thing I know, she's going, "Hey, are you going to wake up? Huh? 9, 3, 2, 1. And she kissed me, and I still didn't know what was happening. Has the world ended? The Nawabuian nation claimed that the planetary lineup would cause a star holocaust, pulling the planets toward the sun on that day. John Hagee claimed that the so-called blood moon prophecy, first predicted by Mark Blitz in 2008 and then reiterated by him in 2014, said that the world would start in a tetrad in 2014 and 2015 and would begin the representation of messianic end times. David Meade said on September 23rd, the world would end. He said, whoops, wrong. October 23rd, the world would end in 2017. We were at a baseball game. The second time he said that, and I kept thinking, well, if the world ends right now, our team wins. Woohoo! November 19th, 2017, Terrell Croft, and you know, I think you may have heard this one. He also believed that the world would end because of a planet called Nibiru, a comet called Nibiru would destroy the Earth. He also predicted massive global earthquakes would take place on this date. Science. When astrologers speak of planets being aligned, something that really doesn't concern astronomers, and you know the difference, right? Astrologers are in the newspaper, astronomers are at NASA. When I look in the newspaper, see what my horoscope is today, it always says the same thing. Go back to bed. So these planets doesn't mean, a planet alignment doesn't mean that they will actually line up dead straight. He said one calculation of alignments is usually within 30 degrees of each other, but it is physically impossible for the planets to align on their own. The axis, the representation, the way they tilt prevents it. About as close as they can get, the last such alignment of 30 degrees was in 561 BC. The next one, the closest they can be to perfectly straight, will be in 2854. The eight planets plus Pluto are somewhat aligned every 500 years. Through the years, there have been many ridiculous claims about planetary alignments. For instance, they cause earthquakes and so forth and so on. And they cause people to become weightless when they line up. Oh, I would love that. Whew, boy, would I enjoy that. A true alignment can never happen in our solar system. The only thing that planetary alignments affect are the tides. And thus our planet, in the same way the planetary alignment was thought to be, if the sun or moon were damaged or destroyed, would throw it off orbit, would be possibly the only thing that would affect us. Planetary alignment. So the next time somebody says, well, the planets lined up and everything turned out all right, laugh at it. Okay, do we have this straight? Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now let's just go back for a moment and consider false prophets. And let's just consider what they are. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on record and call them what they are. They are wrong and stupid. What? Are you allowed to say that, Paul? It's politically correct world. Why don't you use the proper PC terminology? They were not correct in their calculations, and their IQ does not match what they were trying to put forth. Wrong and stupid. Never, 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 never get lured into this stupidity. Enter this nut, David Mead. I want to circle back to him. He is a Christian doomsayer. He is led, and he is a self-published author, says that Jesus Christ will reappear to the world on April 23rd, 2018. Have you heard about that? In case you're doing the math, that's next Tuesday? Let's see, I don't know.
The 23rd is a Monday.
Is it Monday?
Yeah.
See how much I pay attention to it? He says that the purported end of times events have been cited frequently by American fundamentalists who say the rapture will see the living and the dead will unite and follow Jesus into the sky. That's true. The passage from the book of Revelation 12:1-2 reads, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head had a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Mr. Mead, who has been most vocal about this upcoming apocalypse, says Virgo represents the woman, while Jupiter is the Messiah, and the planetary alignment will take place on the 23rd, and the rapture will commence. You know, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona for sale if anybody's interested. Cheap? No? Got good beachfront? He suggests that the planet Nibiru, or however you pronounce it, is also going to destroy us. NASA has repeatedly said, where is this so-called planet? And shown detailed facts to back it up. It doesn't exist. This idea may have come from Nancy Leader, who in 1995 said that volcanic eruptions are causing people to lose their minds and it is time for the Lord to return soon. His book, Planet X, says that the 23rd of April 2018 signals the end of the world. He's a Christian numerologist. Let me read you this passage. Maybe you haven't heard this. Maybe you forgot it. Maybe you don't know it. I'm your teacher today, Professor P.N. Leatherman III. Still laughing. Matthew 24, verse 36. Jesus speaking. In my Bible, it's written in red. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, capital letters, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let's see. I don't see anything about planetary alignments in there. I don't see any. I just had to reread. It said, maybe somewhere in that verse it said, Paul Leatherman will actually know the day that he's coming back. No, Paul Leatherman won't. So here I am again reminding you that there is no need to worry, although I had been having a little fun around my house when I brought the story up. I told my wife and my sons, we were riding home the other night from somewhere, I said, hey, we need to spend the weekend cleaning up the house, just cleaning that house up, making everything go away, make it pristine. Why? I said, because the world ends on April 23rd. And see, we're all going to get raptured. And I don't want the people that would come to my house looking for something to walk in and see how messy we lived. And Buck and Wally kind of got upset. They said, "Are you serious, Dad?" I said, "Oh, this is a golden opportunity. Yes, boys, you need to clean your room." Their room is not clean. Whoever stops by my house when I'm raptured up is going to walk in and go, "What in the world was this family into?" Here's a big picture of the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ right next to a steam engine. What is that supposed to mean? But we don't, we fall prey to believing this stuff. Everybody does. Just for a minute, you might actually think, "All right, let's stop here for a minute. What if he's right? What if, excuse me, what if by some dumb idea, he's right?" Anybody in here worried about it?
No.
Let me see by hands. How many people are worried? Well, why not? Because do you know the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
Think about that. Now, I'm asking you to think about that for a moment. If it's tomorrow, are you ready? Are you ready? Once we go down the road to believing in false things, sometimes we cannot turn back. More often than not, we can't. And it becomes a part of our culture. Can't believe this stuff. Even though you know it's not true, people get caught up in it. The first hot air balloon flight was in Paris, France in 1783. 1783. The Wright brothers flew in 1903. A bishop of a century ago, 100 years ago, announced from his pulpit in the periodical he edited that heavier than air flight was both impossible and contrary to the will of God. Now, for you to understand that, he would have probably said this sometime the late 1800s, early 1900s. I'm going to read that again. That heavier than air flight was both impossible and contrary to the will of God. The bishop had two sons, Wilbur and Orville Wright. 1903. Kitty Hawk. Kill Devil Hills. They flew. All right. What am I trying to say? What is John trying to say? What are we looking at here? We key in on that seventh verse. Because this world is drawn into believing dumb stuff. If nobody believed, if everybody was super smart and didn't fall prey to dumb stuff, there'd be no commercials for anything on the planet. You just automatically know that certain things would be true. That this pan can boil water. That this stove makes ham. That Ford is the number one vehicle on the planet. Boy, that went quiet, didn't it?
That's true.
I'll get it for that one later. But let's get back to some very basic facts. Facts. The world will end as we know it one day. Say amen. You believe it, right? One day the world is going to end. We know that's true because of what? The Bible. Jesus will return and take us away from Him. You know that thing they call rapture? Let me stop here for a moment. I'm having a little fun today because we've been working hard the past couple Sundays. And this nut, David Mead, has me making sure that we talk about this. But I want to speak to you on the rapture because it is my inclination that you need to know Jesus Christ wholly, fully, with belief, and live for Him. Because when that trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And what is going to be left behind is wretched, horrifying. We had a long talk about it, me and the boys. We have to think about it in those terms. Because we have to remind ourselves of the urgency in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. A jet airliner flying through the skies. The pilot and co-pilot, both saved Christians. The trumpet sounds, and they're gone. Who flies the plane? Who stops the train? Who makes sure that the power circuits at the generating station don't overload? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, when Jesus comes back, is gone. I beg you, in this moment, take stock of yourself. Do you know Jesus? There will be that moment. Fact. No one except God knows when, and He knows how much He loves us. The first three verses of John chapter 3 lay it out. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. The false prophets don't know Him, or they wouldn't make these dumb statements. They wouldn't go and say, you will never, ever. Somebody in this room asked me, Paul, when's the world going to end? Marvin, ask me when the world's going to end. I don't know.
Why not?
Not my job. That's my answer. And here's the other thing. I care only because I want to see people make it into heaven. But it's not something that occupies my time. The next fact. Sin is sin. There's no this sin and that sin. Sin is sin. Verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Now, can we stop sinning? No. Do we have to beg for forgiveness every day? Yes, these are facts. Will we be forgiven? Yes. Why? Go back to verse 1. How great is the love of the Father has lavished, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Remember, we need not listen to false teachings because they are everywhere. Once again, key in on the seventh verse. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. False prophets is the devil's work. Somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, the world's going to end, is a false prophet, and they are doing the devil's work. Next fact. Be ready. Be ready. Because you just don't know.
That ain't funny.
That just took all the wind right out of my sail. Be ready. Because you just don't know. You have no idea when your time is. It could be right now, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day. But you have to be ready. Right? Got to be ready. Got to be ready. Anna Lee once sent me an email with this saying in it, and I love this saying. You want to say it or do you want me to? Prayed up. Packed up. Ready to be picked up. You want to hear it again? I love it. Prayed, you want to say it with me? Prayed up.
packed up, ready to be picked up. I love that saying. Be ready. And Jesus is crystal clear on this. Back to Matthew. Verse 42 in the 24th chapter. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Be ready. I have a little fun in my head sometimes. I like to picture things, see scenarios. I'm a weirdo, proud of it. My wife married a weirdo. She's not always proud of it. And I can just imagine. I have this imagination. Here's the Lord sitting on that throne. Long beard, hair flowing, you know. Looks a lot like Charlton Heston. Looks at his son and says, I've had enough of this. What you want me to do, Dad? Go get my children. Like that. Charles Spurgeon, who did not make a prediction, had these words to say. He said, I would recommend, now I love this, Charles, or Charlie as I like to call him, and I call him that, and I'm finding out probably when I get to heaven, he's going to seek me out the first thing and grab me by the thing and say, would you ever call me Charlie again? Charles Spurgeon said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith and is not good for much. Believe fully or don't. Your choice. Who in this room chooses to believe fully? Go amen.
Amen.
C.S. Lewis said, you never know how much you really believe in anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It is easy to say you believe in a rope to be strong as long as you are merely using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over the edge of a cliff. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? So there it is. Trust. Verse 10, back there in John. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Trust. Trust in the Word. Trust in the Holy Spirit. It's here right now. Trust in Jesus. Trust in God. After all, what else do we really have? Planetary alignments. That's what I'm going to look for. I'm going to home tonight, get out my app, tells me where all the constellations are, and look for that planetary alignment. And I'll bet you, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be looking through that thing, and I'm going to see the stars line up. And they're going to speak to me. And I know it because I believe this to be true. I'm going to be looking through that app at them things, and them stars are going to line up. And they're going to say, Paul, put that stupid thing down. Yes, sir. What else do we really have if we don't trust in what the Lord has given us? You have a planetary alignment. You have belief in falsehoods. So be ready. And if you have taken Jesus, you are. For me, I have visions of those who have gone on before me. I see them. People that I have come to know in these four walls. People that walked me to the front of this altar and prayed over me to be the pastor of this church. And I walked them to their end. People that have lived for me
and prayed for me all through my life are waiting for me, for you to get there. Please be ready. Regardless of what is about to happen next week, which firmly I don't know and I don't really care. I know that we will be called up when it is time. I know that the Lord says, do not practice anything but what I have given you. I know that the verse 7 says, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Then I'm going to lead you in the way to go. Know your Jesus, know your Christ, know your place, know your time, and be ready. Because planetary alignment or not, one day you're going home. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for the strengthening that will come from it. Thank you for the joy that we get from it. Because we can honestly say we trust in you. Fully to the hilt, Father. All the way to the top. We swim in the deeps of divine revelation. And regardless of what happens, whether our time is 5 minutes from now, 10 years, or whatever, let us be sure that not only do we know you, love you, know your Son, believe in your Son, believe in everything that He was, lived for, and still is, but we also make sure that those around us have a chance to hear those sweet words. Because maybe one day the planets will truly align and the trumpet will sound. We know the trumpet will sound. And we're out of here. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you give us so full. Watch over and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen.